Well, good morning and welcome everybody to our contemporary service today. My name's Dave Bruce. I am the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints Churches here in Malvern. And whether you're a regular of ours or whether you are an online visitor today, you are really welcome to be with us as we join for this service. Wherever you are, we come from scattered lives today, don't we? In our homes, in different places, maybe even spread all over the world, to come to worship the same God, the God who countless others across our world are worshipping today. And today we're going to be particularly looking at Psalm 103, and David Ritchie, one of our retired clergy, is going to be sharing some thoughts on that later in our service. And his title is Don't Forget to Remember. And that's why I thought we'd come in front of my picture of elephants here. Elephants who never forget reminds us that we are called as people of God to not forget who he is and what he has done for us. And we're going to follow much of the pattern of this psalm, Psalm 103, in our service this morning. It's a great psalm of praise of who God is and a call to remember all that God has done for us. So I want to invite you, wherever you are now, just to be still and to remember that wherever you are, God is there with you. And he delights to encounter you this morning. And we're going to say some words of these opening sentences, and I invite you to join in. Maybe you'd like to stand as we prepare to sing our first song. Join in the bits in white as we declare. We say, praise the Lord. With all our hearts, we will praise God's holy name. Praise the Lord. Never forget the good things God has done for us. Praise the Lord, all the earth, everyone, everywhere, praise the Lord. And let's do that in the words of our first song, Great in Power.
Praising you heavens and all that's above. Praising you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praising the sun, moon and bright shining stars. Praising you heavens and waters and skies. Let the
great.
And so we thank you, Lord, that you are great in power. We thank you that you are the Almighty God, the everlasting God, the God who knows us, the God who loves us, the God who created us. And we bring you our praise and our thanks and our worship now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, in a moment, the children are going to go off to their activities, which are online, and the youth are going to go off to their youth Zoom too. But I wanted to show you something before we just separate. And that's this. I wanted you to say, I want you to have a think about, what do you see here? Well, I guess many of you will have said, I see a black dot. I see a black blob there. And this is a little illustration that I heard of a few years ago, which I think is, I found really helpful. You see, so often actually what we look at when we look at this, what we see is the black blob, the black dot in the middle. But what we so often don't recognise is actually all the white paper around it, because our eyes are drawn to that black dot. And I think it's a bit like it in life. So often actually when we find problems or difficulties, or where we just are anxious and burdened by things, actually all we do is we can focus on those things. We can focus on the black blobs in our lives. And at those times what we can miss is we can miss all the white paper, all those good things that God has given us that we so often take for granted. And what God invites us to do is to shift our eyes from the black blob to the white paper, to focus on those good things that he has given us. And that's what this psalm talks about. It says, forget not his benefits. Forget not, don't forget all the good things that God has done for you, that he's provided for you. And so I'd love us to stop for a moment at the start of our service and be thankful for all the white paper, all those things which we perhaps so often take for granted, of what God's done for us, of those things that God has given us. And I'd love you, if you're on your own, then just quietly offer those prayers of thanks to God. If you're with others, then perhaps share, what are you thankful for today? What do you want to say? I want to say thank you to God for these things. Share that now. And you might like to pause this and have a chat, and then we're going to offer our prayers of thanks to God. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, for all that you have given us. We thank you for this wonderful world that you give us, this beautiful place of Malvern that many of us live in. We thank you for our friends and our families. We thank you for the provision of food and our homes, of a health service, of people to serve us, people to look after us. We thank you for relationships. We thank you for love. We thank you for friendship and all that you have given us. Help us always to be grateful for all that you have done for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And one of the things I'm really grateful for as a rector of our church is just the amazing people that God has brought to us, who serve so faithfully, who come up with creative ideas of how we can serve and support our community. And we're going to show you, see a very short video of one of the latest projects that's happening, which is a joint project between the church and the Octagon community on the Brook Farm Estate, and the Octagon Community Centre, and Sarah McCartan and others there. And Helen's going to tell us more about what's been happening in the last couple of weeks.
Hi everyone, I just want to tell you about our virtual Cook and Eat project that our churches are running in partnership with the Brook Farm Community Association. So we've signed up some families from the youth group and the Thursday project, and there's about 15 of them signed up at the moment, and every week they receive a bag full of groceries to cook a recipe, and all that they need is in the bag. They're given a recipe card, they have a folder with the recipes in, and they go away and cook it on a Wednesday or Thursday evening. And then on Friday afternoons, we have a Zoom call where we meet together and hear from the young people how they've got on with the recipe. George and Levi are helping with that, and they're also doing the cooking. And Eloise is helping packing the bags, and we've got other people delivering the bags out to the families. So we'd love you to get involved if you want to. Welcome to receive recipes, and do ask if you want to know any more. Brilliant, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Helen and Eloise and others, and Sarah and others who've been supporting and helping that work. And you can see what they made this week, bangers and mash, and didn't it look great? We thank God for our bangers and mash. Well, the children and youth are going to go off to their different activities now, and it's been great to have you with us, and we continue to pray for you as you adjust to some of you being back at school and others not. And perhaps the rest of you might like to grab a Bible at this stage. I'd love you to follow the reading in your Bibles today, as Mary's going to read these words of Psalm 103. And as she reads them, I want to really dwell in each of the phrases. Hear who God is. Hear what God has done for you. Hear a little bit of just how God sees you. And after Mary has read the reading, we're going to hear a little clip from Diana Hunt, who I chatted to this week, who this psalm is a real favourite of. And she's going to share a little bit of what this psalm means to her.
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives you all your sins, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. For as man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul.
So, Diana, you do a lot of prayer ministry, and then when you pray with others, you often use Psalm 103. What does that psalm mean to you in that context?
Well, I love this psalm. I think because it covers so much. It says it forgives your iniquity. Well, that's great. But then something different heals your diseases. I think jolly good. Then redeems, which to me means you're sort of set free. Like they used to redeem slaves. You cut them off from that one and that one. And you pay for them and then they're freed. And so to be redeemed is quite different from being healed. And it's different from being forgiven. So you've got all those. And then what does it say? Crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. That's, to me, that's extraordinary. And I sometimes think, guess what? All by myself, God crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. And I haven't done anything. None of us have done anything to deserve that. But, and where else would I find that? It's just what you need, isn't it? Steadfast love and mercy. What is it, else does it say? Renews your youth like the eagles. I suppose it, or something a bit like that. But there is a sense of renewal that goes on. As I think to be, perhaps for me, being more at peace, which has come through renewal. It's a wonderful mix-up. That psalm, I'm sure that's not the right theological term, but of all the things it includes, you crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, that's it. So I think it's this wonderful mix. Where else would you find it? Could you buy it? You couldn't acquire it anywhere except with God, of forgiveness, healing, redeeming, setting free, crowning, and then he renews us. It's an amazing combination.
As Diana says in these words, it's an amazing combination of what God offers us. And we'll hear more of that later when David unpacks it for us even more. But one of the things it talks about is he forgives our sins. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. As far as the east is from the west, so far as God put our sins from us. So let's follow the pattern again of this psalm and come and confess before God. Come and make right before God where we've not lived as he would have wanted us to live. And as we do that, we ask for his forgiveness and we ask for his strength to live differently in the coming week. So in the blazing light of your love, Lord, our failings are illuminated. Our failure to give. Our failure to love, our failure to follow, our failure to serve, our failure to be the people you would have us be. Forgive us and renew us. And in the quiet, I invite you just to offer anything to God that you want to particularly ask his forgiveness for today. And ask confidently, knowing he's a God who forgives, who takes away our shame and guilt, a God who restores. And so, people of God, hear the good news. Our God is compassionate and merciful. Full of endless love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or punish us as harshly as he could. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so strong is his love towards us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. So be at peace. You are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And we're forgiven because of God's grace, all that God gives us that we don't deserve, because of Jesus' death for us on the cross. So I'd love to invite you to join in again as we sing This Is Amazing Grace, as our band lead us in worship.
Thank you.
Just before David comes to speak to us, let's do what that song invited us to do, and let's just be still and wait on the Lord. In a sense, particularly, there's some people listening in who just need to hear those words of strength will rise as we wait on the Lord, that he will renew your strength like the eagles. There's some people here who are particularly needing God's comforts this morning. Just in this moment, let's just be still and allow God's Spirit to give us strength, renew our strength, to bring us his comforts and his peace. Let's wait on the Lord. Father God, as David comes to speak to us now, will you still our hearts? Will you align them with yours? Will you meet us afresh and minister to us, we pray. Lead us into all truth. Amen.
Good morning, and it's really good to be with you today, sharing from the scriptures. One of the features of the lockdown is the way that individuals have virtually got together, be it through Zoom or WebEx, to form large choirs of singers. Be it a couple of weeks ago, a choir of 3,000 singing Handel's Messiah. Be it the Arab World Blessing. In the last couple of weeks, 67 Christians from 16 Arab countries have come together to record a blessing song. Or even here in the United Kingdom, individuals from, I think, 65 different churches singing what has been called the UK Blessing Song. Organised by Tim Hughes, the minister of Gas Street Church in Birmingham, the six-minute video with its amazing words, "The Lord bless you and keep you," has now been viewed more than 3 million times on YouTube. It even drew the attention of Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who said, "At a time when our churches are closed, I'm filled with admiration to hear how you have used the power of music to bring together Christians of all denominations from across our United Kingdom. We shouldn't be surprised, for one of the characteristics of the people of God is that they are a singing people. In the Bible, there's a songbook. It contains 150 songs, which we call Psalms. Dave, our vicar, asked me to speak on my favourite psalm. I had no difficulty in choosing Psalm 103, which has for so long been my favourite. It begins and ends with identical words, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And verse 1 continues, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." It's a psalm on which Henry Francis Lyte based his favourite hymn, his familiar hymn, "Praise My Soul, a King of Heaven." It's a hymn that our Queen chose to be sung at her wedding, and it features on any list of popular hymns, sung at weddings, state occasions, songs of praise, and part of the standard repertoire of many churches. But wait a moment, I hear you say. Isn't that rather an insensitive choice when we're in the midst of a life-threatening pandemic? A pandemic that has killed the most vulnerable, decimates economies, isolates communities, and sows terror around the world. Now, I was tempted to choose another psalm, a psalm of complaint or lament, perhaps, one that speaks more immediately to our present circumstances. But then I took a longer look at this psalm. I discovered that it was used extensively by God's people when they were captive in exile in Babylon. They were facing the calamity of exile. They were in chains, and humanly speaking, the future was bleak. And yet, extraordinarily, it was to this psalm that they turned. I wonder why. I think the clue is to be found early on. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In other words, don't forget to remember. First of all, remember what God knows about us. Remember what he has done for us. First, he forgives all my sins, verse 3. That comes before anything else. That's why for us as Christians, the cross is at the heart of our faith. It's a vivid reminder that God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus, died for us in our place to forgive us our failure, our rebellion, our selfishness, our stupidity, what the Bible simply sums up as our sin. And he goes on forgiving day by day. As one person put it, God sees the sins which appall us and which we hope to hide from others, and takes the risk of keeping on forgiving. Or, as this writer later expresses it, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I think it was Billy Graham who said, "In these days of guilt complexes, perhaps the most glorious word in the English language, or in any language for that matter, is forgiveness." Secondly, he heals all your diseases. Our prayer must be with the scientists in their desperate and unceasing search for an effective vaccine. We pray for protection, especially for the elderly and the vulnerable. We pray for compassion and wisdom and stamina for all our healthcare workers. Ultimately, though, we recognise that God is the source of all healing, renewal and love that we experience. It may be now, it may be in time to come. And so we read, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit." Or as other translations put it, "He keeps me from the grave." You and I are mortal, limited, finite. And in the year 2020, when we had naively thought that science and medicine would sort out everything, coronavirus reminds us of our frailty, our mortality. Or as the psalmist advises us elsewhere, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, let's reassess our priorities. What matters most to us? For all of us, without exception, our days are numbered. Teach us to use them well. Sarah Yardley expressed how many of us might feel at this time. She says, "Lockdown has been a roller coaster of emotions for me. In the first week, I lost my groundings, rhythms, community, and focus. Like many, I was looking to find an anchor, but felt storm-tossed by circumstances. My clearest lesson during lockdown has been the simple reality of seeking first the presence of God. He has not changed. His kindness is towards us. His word is alive. His spirit is active. And his call is certain." And she went on to say, "In a time of deep uncertainty, the expectation of a living God holds new weight and power. I've learnt to write my plans in pencil, to choose to believe the best, even when I don't feel it, and to see my own frailty more than ever before. In many ways, my greatest lesson during lockdown is the one I have learnt my whole life long. I am a great sinner. Christ is a great saviour." Sarah's experience just underlines the words of the key words of this psalm. God's love, his compassion. Verse 4, he crowns you with love and compassion. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who trust him. Verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God knows our frailties, our fears, our anxieties, our griefs, our uncertainties. So don't forget to remember. God is like the loving father who shows compassion, who puts his arms round his children when they are troubled. Don't forget to remember what God knows about you. And don't forget, secondly, to remember what we know about God. In our humanity, we are weak, limited, mortal. But God's love is from eternity past to eternity future. As we read, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. God loves his people, his children, and not even the power of a global pandemic can separate us from him. Or as one Bible verse puts it, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I wonder, have you noticed? The word corona comes from the Latin word crown. And you see the picture of the virus time and again in the shape of a crown. But the one who wears the crown is not the virus, but God himself. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And so, don't forget to remember what God knows about us, what we know about God. Or as the psalmist sums it up, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits."
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We may be on our own or in family groups right now, but we are not alone. And we give you thanks that although we aren't able to gather in our church buildings yet, we are still able to gather together in the Spirit to praise you. We rejoice together with all those other people meeting with you today in similar circumstances, both here in our parishes, in our town, in our country, and around the world. And this morning I'd like us to pray particularly for our young people. For many of them, the current situation with coronavirus has burdened them with all sorts of worries and concerns as their lives have become disrupted by lockdown. We remember especially those young people who are in a transition phase, for those who are about to move to a new school, for those moving on into further education, and for those setting out into the world of employment for the first time. For many, their plans have been thrown up in the air, and all they can see are uncertainties. Social distancing means school will not be what it was. Many sixth formers will be wondering if university life will now be the life that they really wanted when they applied for their places with hope and expectation last autumn. And those leaving education and seeking work face a challenging employment market. We pray for those youngsters who are struggling to make sense of it all, and for their families, friends and carers who are trying to support them. We ask you, Lord, that they will feel your love, that they will experience your peace, and they will know that you hold them in your hands by your grace. Young people are the future. Help us all, Lord, to remember that as we adjust to different ways of living. In a week that has seen protests against racism spread around the world, we ask that all peoples of the world will be treated fairly and equally, no matter what the colour of their skin. We ask you to bless all those fighting peacefully to root out and crush racism. And we pray that each of us will look closely into our own hearts to make sure that we are not harbouring thoughts alien to God's teaching, the God who created and loves all people and who yearns for us to act towards each other in love. We pray for those who are sick, for those receiving treatment, and for those who care for their loved ones at home. I'll pause for a moment, or you can pause this recording, for you to bring before God any known to you who are in need of God's healing and love. Loving Father, we pray that you will bless all who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need and bring good out of their troubles. And I'll finish with a prayer from the Children's Society. Although it was written with young people in mind, I think it applies to us all. God of compassion, at this time of crisis, we bring before you the peoples of our country and the world. We ask for your blessing and strength for those working tirelessly to protect and save life. And we pray especially for vulnerable people who are at greater risk during this time, for those who are not safe at home, for those who may be plunged into even greater poverty, those whose fragile mental health may worsen, and those who feel abandoned and alone. Draw near to all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. We also pray for the staff of our healthcare professions, for the support agencies and charities, as they find new ways to support those people who find themselves in challenging circumstances. Please bless their efforts and keep all with whom we work safe from harm. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
And so as we prepare to go into the week, let's hold on to those words there. You go before me. You're there beside me. And if I wander, love will find me. Whatever we are going to face this week, it might be good stuff, it might be tough stuff. We know that our God, the God we have been praising, the God we've been talking about who he is and what he's done for us, our God will go with us. And I want to encourage you in this coming week. There's so much in Psalm 103 that we've talked about today and so much we haven't talked about. But I want to encourage you maybe each day, why not each day, read through Psalm 103. And invite God just to each day to draw one phrase to your mind and focus on that phrase and just dwell on that phrase each day. Maybe it's about him rescuing you from the pits. It might be about him renewing your youth like the eagles. It might be focusing on that our God is a compassionate and gracious God, and for each one of us he has endless love. I encourage you to take a phrase of this psalm each day and meditate on it and dwell on it and pray into it and just allow God to continue to encounter you in these words this week. It's been great being together in this way again, and it's been lovely in recent weeks to be contacted by some people who are new to us and who are logging in online and connecting with us for the first time, and we love to receive emails from that. I had one this week of a lovely conversation I had with on email with a lady who's been listening in, and if you are listening in and we haven't met before, I would love you to drop me an email and introduce yourself, and we can get to know you. And we are here to support in any other way too. And one of the things we're continuing to do is offering to pray for anything that people would like prayer for. And we have our special email, prayoneforme@standrewsandallsaints.org. And there's lots more information on our website, particularly about how we can continue to develop these rhythms of daily prayer, of meditating on God's word, of encountering God each day. Do keep up those. Do keep setting aside time to meet with God and just see what he wants to show you at this time. So let us finish with a blessing. So as we go from here, may you know the Lord, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. May you know him go before you. May you know him go beside you. And may you be found by his enormous, extravagant love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. God bless, and we look forward to connecting with you next week.